We've been preaching through the book of Jonah here in the Fifth Avenue building. And for those of you who worship the old stone building, I just preached the last section of it to you. So everybody should be caught up as we come to this passage of Scripture. We continue to study, and we'll be looking at verses 11 through 16 this morning. And last time we saw how Jonah was singled out by God, by Lot. The sailors question him, and he makes that great profession of who he is and whom it is that he serves. And we saw how the sailors were absolutely amazed and astonished that Jonah would have run away, would have fled from such a God as powerful as Yahweh, as a God who made the earth and the sea and the dry land. And so that's where we pick up this morning. The sailors want to know, what do we do now that this is the case, that we know all these things? So we'll begin our reading at verse 11 of Jonah chapter 1. Hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Then they, the sailors, said to him, "What shall we do to you, that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Thus ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Let's go to him in prayer again. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for what it teaches us about you, about who you are and how you work in this world, but also of your heart and what you have given to this world through your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh God, help us to see him this morning in your word. Minister to us, we pray, by your Spirit, and we pray that you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, as we see in our text, the storm is getting worse for the sailors and for Jonah. And the sailors want to know what they can do. What should we do in order to escape this tempestuous storm, as the writer keeps calling it? And what we see here is that Jonah finally speaks and acts in such a way that leads these sailors, leads these men to come to worship and serve the Lord. He speaks and acts in a way that leads these men to worship and serve the Lord. And as I began to think about my own life and in my interaction with people who live in this world, I began to ask myself the question, is the way I am living, the way I am speaking to others around me, resulting in moving people toward, pointing them to a worship of God and to serve Him? And as I think about my life, I see so often how I have shied away from speaking and living in such a way that would lead others to worship the Lord, to serve the Lord. Whether it's from my own embarrassment and not wanting to engage people in those kinds of conversations, or whether I'm just too busy or I'm too self-centered, I've often failed in leading other people through my words and through my actions to worship and serve the Lord. And that's not my desire. I want to see people worship and serve the Lord. And that's my desire for you as well, that you would speak and live lives that would lead people to worship and serve the Lord. And that's really the main point for you this morning. Speak and live the gospel that those around you would worship and serve the Lord. And there are many instances and circumstances that give us the opportunity to do this. And one of them happens to be when the storms of life cause people to ask spiritual questions. Look at the sailors' question in verse 11. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. So the sailors' situation in our story is getting more desperate. The sea was growing worse. It was getting more difficult for them to stay afloat. And Jonah's confession of guilt really had done nothing to assuage God's anger and God's wrath in this experience for them. But the Lord continued to press them. The Lord continued to press Jonah, to press the sailors, to lead them to acknowledge the Lord God Almighty, to respond to the Lord. And in this whole encounter, the sailors had been relying on their own gods. And when that didn't work, they began trying to rely upon themselves. And yet, when the one true God was revealed to them by Jonah, the Lord's prophet, the sailors then begin to inquire of the Lord's prophet. What do we do? How do we escape? How do we avoid disaster? How can we be delivered? You see, their logic is simple. If this storm is from the Lord, and Jonah is the Lord's prophet, then Jonah can tell us how we can be delivered from this storm from the Lord. They're looking for a solution to their plight. They're looking for deliverance from the condition that they're in. And often this is the way it is with men and women in our world today who do not know the Lord, who do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. When trials and difficulties and sufferings come into their life, they look for deliverance. And yet often they rely on their own false gods to save them. Money, medicine, drugs, alcohol, revenge, whatever it may be, to try to bring some relief or peace or satisfaction in their hearts, joy in their hearts to deliver them. However, these things always fail. They can never truly be delivered from their estate without the one true and living God. Only His grace, only His wisdom, only His guidance can provide the deliverance and the hope and the peace that they truly need. It's interesting to me that they seem to know this, too. Has it ever been the case for you that an unbeliever around you is going through a difficult circumstance and they know you're a Christian? And what do? They come and they ask you for advice. They tend to seek you out. They want to know the answer that you can give them. They seem to have this sense that you really know what to do. You may have the answer they need for help and for deliverance. And yet, like these sailors, the unbelievers that surround us need to be delivered from a situation that's far worse than the trials and difficulties that are present in their lives. But they need to be delivered from the estate of sin and misery. And a conversation about such a need can easily arise due to the circumstances that they find themselves in. And that's one of the things we need to be on the lookout for. We need to be ready and willing to give the answers to them when they're asking or whenever they're being pressed by the things in this world. Look at how Jonah responds to them in verse 12. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Jonah provides the sailors with the direction that they need. "Throw me into the sea, and it will become calm for you." How Jonah knew this would be the case, I think, has to be attributed to divine revelation. He was God's prophet. God had communicated this answer to him, and he gave it to these sailors. Jonah says, "I know this storm is because of me." And he knows that his death will pacify God. It will assuage God's anger. And so he says, "Throw me in. Pick me up and pitch me into the sea." And this is really a significant moment here for Jonah, because it's at this point that Jonah stops thinking about himself. And Jonah, again, didn't have to say anything, did he? He didn't have to speak up. He didn't have to give them an answer. He knew he was dead one way or the other. Either God was going to destroy the whole ship and he was going to drown in the sea, or they would pick him up and throw him in and he was a dead man anyway. The only decision he had to make at that point was whether he was going to give them the words of deliverance, whether he was going to speak so that they could be preserved, so that they could be saved. And again, it's in this moment that Jonah stops thinking about himself and thinks about the best interest of the sailors around him and is willing to sacrifice himself for them. Jonah responds with the truth of God's word and displays a self-sacrificing attitude. And this teaches the sailors some significant truths about who God is and how God works. The first truth that Jonah teaches them is that the sailors learn that it is only through the word of the Lord's prophet, and therefore through the word of the Lord itself, that true instruction for their deliverance can be found. Now, they were in this storm, they cried out to their gods, they had no answer. They're in this storm, they tried striving according to their own efforts without hope. And yet when they turned to the Lord and His Word, they found instruction. They found an answer for their deliverance from the danger that they were in, from the wrath that had come upon them. So they learn that there was instruction from God's Word about their deliverance. Secondly, they learn that God is a just God. He requires punishment for sin. And Jonah must die as a result of his sin against God. They learn that God is a just God. But thirdly, they learn, according to the Lord's prophet, that their deliverance will come through the death of another. That one man's death will save them all. And it's very hard to look at this without seeing Jesus Christ, isn't it? It's very hard to hear this, to think about these things and not think about the fact that the Word of God come flesh has given and spoken words of deliverance into this world, the true source of truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And it's through Jesus Christ that we see that God is a just God, that sin must be punished, and yet that sin, the punishment for it, will be laid upon another, upon Jesus Christ, and that His death will satisfy the wrath of God for all those who believe in Him. Now this points us to Jesus Christ. And Jonah spoke and was willing to act in such a way that these men would not only find relief from their present distress, but they would be directed to a place where true deliverance can be found. They learn that God would be merciful to them. And this is what we must do with people in our lives. When we think about those around us, we may not be on a boat full of unbelievers that's about to sink due to our own sin. But we do find ourselves interacting with men and women who do not know God, whose lives are sinking in one way or another. And how we respond to them can teach them some significant truths about who God is and about what God has done in this world through His Son. We can counsel unbelievers in their distress in such a way that we're continually speaking wisdom from the Word of God, speaking truths from the Scriptures. But we can also be living in such a way with them and for them that demonstrates a self-sacrificing love to help them. And Lord willing, we will speak and act in such a way that men and women would not only find relief in their present distress, whatever they're going through, but they would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. They would come to Him. They would worship Him. And they would serve Him. They would find a place where deliverance from their true condition would be found. We need to realize this isn't always the case. This doesn't always happen. They may refuse your counsel altogether. And they may look for other solutions for their life. Now look at how the sailors respond in verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. So instead of following Jonah's direction, they decided to follow their own plan to try to get to shore. To them, throwing Jonah overboard was not a good solution to the problem. Because they're thinking, no, wait a minute, if this storm is from Yahweh, if this storm is from the Lord, the Creator of heaven and earth, I don't think it's such a good idea to take that God's prophet and throw him off the ship. I think that might make him a little angry. So that seems like a not so good solution for us. And so they decide, well, maybe we can just try to get to shore, row to shore, and just drop him off, and then try and row away, and maybe God will follow him in his anger and in his wrath. Makes me think of Winnie the Pooh. You might be thinking, Winnie the Pooh? You think of Eeyore, and when Eeyore walks around, he's all glum, and there's always like this rain cloud following Eeyore around. Wherever Eeyore goes, there goes the rain cloud, right? Whoever stands next to Eeyore gets rained on. To get away from the rain, you get away from Eeyore. Drop Eeyore off somewhere, let me get out of this situation. That's what's going through their minds. If we can drop Jonah off, we can get away. We can escape. We can be delivered. They didn't want to make God angry. Seemed like a good plan to them. Jonah's suggestion seemed to only make things worse. But their plan doesn't work. No matter how hard they tried, they could not get to shore. God was stopping them. God was preventing them from getting to shore. And I think right here we see another instance of God's mercy. God would not let these people get away without seeing the work of God through the sacrifice of Jonah. If they would have just dropped Jonah off, they could have gotten away and they may not have ever thought of it again. But because God pursued them with the storm and did not allow them to escape this situation, they had to come to terms with the fact that someone else had to die for them and that God was merciful and true to his word and delivered them, forcing them to bow down and worship the Lord. That's a mercy of God in their lives. No matter how hard they tried to get away, the sea grew more and more tempestuous, the author says. The sailors thought they were simply setting aside a simple piece of advice for a better plan. But ultimately, they were rejecting the word of the Lord himself. The truth is that he needed to deliver them from a situation far worse than where they were. And this is often the way it is with people in our lives who reject godly counsel. Even you and I, when we reject godly counsel, isn't it? We hear the wisdom of counselors around us telling us how we should walk in this life, and we end up spurning that counsel, and things get worse for us. Or maybe it's been the case for you, where somebody has come and asked advice of you, and you give them counsel from the Word of God. And what do? They go out and they do the exact opposite, don't they? Or they may do something that seemed like a better plan for them, and only to have their lives, their situation, get worse and worse and worse. It's really frustrating, isn't it? It's really sad to see. And one of the things we need to be careful of is to not have an I told you so attitude about things like that. Or when things go bad for them, to have a well, they got what they deserve mentality, which is really easy to have. And friends, we need to remember, who are we to boast? If it weren't for the grace of God, we would be in the same place doing the same things. We're not smarter, we're not wiser, we're not better. But only by the grace of God we go forth. And so we need to have that mentality in mind when we present the truths of the gospel to people around us as well. To those who are drowning in the storm of their own sin. Instead of trusting in the word of God, which you proclaim, they try to row themselves to shore. They don't get any better. Their souls are no closer to salvation, no closer to God, and God's wrath only grows more and more tempestuous against them. We need to make sure we have hearts of pity and brokenness for them and not think, well, they spurned God's word, so they're going to get what they deserve. That's not the heart of God, as we read from Ezekiel. He does not delight in the death of the wicked, and neither should we. And so let's pray that the unbelievers around us would recognize the futility of their ways and, like these sailors, would recognize their condition and cry out to the only one who can save them, the one whom we proclaim. Look at the point to which these sailors eventually come in verse 14. Therefore they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. The sailors finally recognize that their attempts are futile. They recognize that there is no hope for those who strive against the living God. And they recognize that they must do what Jonah has said. They must cast him overboard. And for the first time in this narrative, they stop and they pray to the one true and living God, the God of heaven and earth. And their prayer is a plea that God would be true to his word. Their prayer is a plea that God would be true to his word. Jonah had told the sailors that they would be delivered if they threw him into the sea. And so now the sailors pray, "Oh Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life. Lord, you told us to do this, so please don't come against us for just following your word. Do not charge us with innocent blood. Lord, again, you told us to do this. Do not hold us guilty for killing this man as if he's innocent. You, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. You told us to do it this way." And I think it's this point that these sailors begin to exercise saving faith. We see all three aspects of what we identify as saving faith. First, they need to know the facts, right? They need to have the knowledge of the truth. They need to have God's word. They've had the truth expressed to them. They know the facts. But then they need to assent to the truth. They need to believe it. They need to agree with those things. And they do this. But then they need to trust. They need to rest in the reality. They need to commit their lives to that truth. They need to stake their lives on that truth. And they do by throwing Jonah into the sea. And this is where we hope and pray that the Holy Spirit will bring those around us. That God would work in their lives as we share and demonstrate the gospel. We know they've heard the facts from us. That we pray that they would agree with those facts. That God would work in their hearts. That they would acknowledge the truthfulness of the fact that Jesus Christ has come into the world to save sinners. They would come to the point of assenting to the truthfulness of those things, and they would cry out to God for deliverance. And we pray that they will trust and rest in His promise and submit themselves to His word. And that's what we see the sailors doing in verse 15, the first half of it. They pick up Jonah and hurl him into the sea. So the sailors' faith culminates and obeying the word of the Lord. They pick up Jonah. They're submitting to God's will. They show that their faith is not dead, and they throw Jonah into the sea. Just like Abraham showed his faith was not dead when he went to sacrifice his son Isaac, these sailors show their faith in God's promise to deliver them by throwing Jonah into the sea. And what happened? They pick Jonah up. The boat's still being tossed back and forth by the waves, crashing over the sides of the deck. The wind's howling past their ears. The rain's pelting them in the face. They pick Jonah up. They pitch him into the sea. And then it's calm. Verse 15. The sea ceased from its raging. See, God was true to his promise. The word of God was found trustworthy. And the sea ceased from its raging. Through faith in the word and the promises of God, these sailors were delivered from their plight. And friends, if you're here today and you don't know this God, if you're here today and you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want you to see this. I want you to see a God who is faithful to His word, who keeps His promises, who delivers men and women who turn to Him. God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to earn salvation for sinners like you and me, which He accomplished through His life and His death and His resurrection from the dead. And the promise of God is this: that if you turn away from trying to save yourself, trying to rescue yourself, turn away from yourself and turn to this God to find deliverance and hope and comfort and peace and salvation, the God of heaven and earth Himself promises you. You believe that? The God who made everything, He promises you that you will be delivered. That you will be delivered from your sin, you will be delivered from the punishment of your sin, and you will be brought into fellowship with Him. You will be standing before the face of God, and you will experience fullness of joy, full satisfaction, full peace, because of what His Son, Jesus Christ, has done for you on the cross. He promises this to you. And what a beautiful promise it is. Take this God at His word. Come to Him and find His word trustworthy and true. And for those of you who do know this God, you need to be praying for those around you who don't know Him. Pray for their souls. Pray that God would work in their lives. Pray that we would speak words of deliverance. That we would live in such a way that they would see our sacrificial love and they would turn to the gospel. Their hearts would be open to it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they would have their souls saved and trust and rest in the promises of God. Ultimately coming to the place where they worship and serve the Lord. Look at what becomes of these sailors in verse 16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. At the beginning of this story with the sailors, we see that they feared the storm and that they were afraid to die in the sea. In the middle of the story, we see that when Jonah reveals who he is and who it is that he serves, they fear this God because they're afraid in His anger He is going to destroy them. And now at the end of the story, we see that they fear Him in an altogether different way. They fear Him in the way that Jonah feared the Lord in verse 9 when Jonah said, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord. Meaning that he worships and he serves the Lord. His life is committed to the Lord. And that's just what these sailors do. Look at the text again. The men feared the Lord exceedingly and they offered a sacrifice to Him. They worshiped Him and they made vows to Him. They obliged themselves. They committed themselves to the Lord in some way. I find this whole thing incredible. Because when you look at it, you see Jonah, who is doing everything in his power to run away from God. Doing everything in his power not to preach the word of God. And yet God pursues him with this storm and brings him to the point where he must confess who he is and whom it is that he serves. And we see Jonah end up proclaiming that Yahweh is the Lord, that declaring a message of deliverance and salvation, and then going on to demonstrating self-sacrificing love to the end that these sailors would worship and serve the Lord. I don't know about you, but I find this very encouraging. Because when I look at my life, I see no matter how much I have failed in the past to share and demonstrate the gospel to others due to my own self-centeredness, my own embarrassment, my own busyness. No matter how much I have failed, God can still use my efforts now in speaking the gospel and living the gospel in front of others to draw men and women to Himself. And I'm so thankful for that. I don't know where you are or how you've been in serving and speaking the word of the Lord to others, sharing the gospel with others, how clearly you've been demonstrating that in your life. But I want to encourage you to start now. It's not too late. I know that you know people in your life who are experiencing great difficulties, the storms of their lives, and they may be asking questions. They're at least more open to spiritual conversation and discussion. Take the opportunity to give them the answers that they need. Not just the answers to their present distress. The answers about the one true and living God who sent His Son to this world to give them everlasting life. That's what they need to hear. That's what they need so desperately. So speak and live the gospel. And even though some may put it off, put you off, pray that they would recognize their true condition and cry out to the one you proclaim and submit to His will. Pray that they would ultimately come to worship and serve the Lord. And may God be pleased to use us to that end. that men and women would fall down before his face and sing his praises because they've experienced the salvation of their souls. Share, speak, live the gospel so that men and women would come to worship and serve the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you never give up on those who you have purposed to save. We're so thankful for that. And Lord, because we don't know who it is, oh God, help us to be submissive to your will and your providence in our entire lives. Not knowing where you might take us, not knowing who you might put us in contact with, not knowing what our circumstances may be. Help us, Lord, to be submissive to your providence and be willing and ready to speak and live the gospel, that those around us would come to know you, to love you, to serve you, to see your beauty as we have seen it, that their souls would be saved. Lord, do a great work today even, we pray, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Do good to your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.